That's how hard I rock. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Also, I already started drinking because I can drink now. So, fuck it.
Okay. Well, greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sack.
Nice.
It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
With very special guest.
Stefan Senpai!
Yay!
Yeah. Senpai! You may have noticed from Jenna cutting in and out there.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, you cheer at just the right frequency.
Or the wrong frequency.
No, that's background noise. But we're
recording. You're telling me you're not the only one that doesn't listen to me?
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, fuck off. Anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're recording remotely because someone got sick.
That would be me.
Oh, wah, wah. Yep. See, and now I want my sound box because I could do the wah wah sound, and I don't have it, and Salsa doesn't have my skills. There we go.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
That's the one I wanted.
Yeah. No, that's because I don't need to resort to Saturday morning radio to get my point across.
Excuse me?
I don't know what just happened.
Okay, well, neither do our listeners, because we already tested this and it doesn't work. Remember, James? So now you're just fucking with everybody.
I did not remember. That was just...
God damn it. You know, we're here for the listeners, not for each other, right?
James made sound effects that apparently we can hear and you can't hear. So this is great podcasting, James.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, everybody, what you drinking?
I'm drinking. I reached into my fridge and pulled out the first thing that I grabbed. And I grabbed a Sam Adams Seasonal Flannel Fest Munich Dunkel.
That actually sounds pretty tasty.
What the hell is a Munich Dunkel?
Dunkel. Dunkel.
Dunkel. What's
double.
A Munich Dunkel?
No,
Dunkel. No, Dunkel is dark, sorry. Dark.
Yes. Yep.
Doppel is double.
Yep. It's a dark lager.
Oh, okay.
In the Munich style.
Like the lumberjack at night?
Is a great uncle.
I knew that one.
What?
Grunkle is a great uncle.
Yeah.
Grunkle Stan.
Right.
Where's Grunkle Stan?
Oh, Gravity Falls.
Kazakhstan and Kazakhstan.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, I am drinking not water. I'm drinking again. And I'm trying to because
only a matter of time.
Yeah, well, obviously. Well. Like I got through my first couple of weeks of like losing water weight and doing all of that stuff, right? The plan. And I've gotten myself into a proper habit of moving and doing various things. And so I'm like, all right, great. Now that I've established habits, it's booze time, motherfuckers. So, I am having a ginger beer with a bit of whiskey in it.
Ooh.
I had asked my beloved to get me low or no sugar ginger beer, and he missed that part, so he just got me regular ginger beer. But I'm going to drink it anyway, because fuck it.
What ginger beer?
I don't remember. And I left the can downstairs where I mixed it.
I mean, that's
is it a gold
subjective.
Can like Gosling's or something?
It is kind of a goldish can. I don't think it's Gosling's, though.
Huh. I mean, one person's low amount of sugar is another person's high amount of sugar.
Yeah, this is a regular amount of, like, I specifically asked him to
regular
look for lower no sugar.
Ooh. That's why this person has their own pancreas.
Standard?
Yeah, I mean, it's a low amount for me.
No, there's an actual stat, like, low sugar will advertise itself as low sugar. Fuck you. I was not incorrect in my directions. my partner actually said, oh, I didn't see that part. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Yell at him for buying me things? Like, that's a dick move. I did. And then he yelled back at me. And I love our relationship, the end. Anyway.
The only incorrect thing that you did was to expect salsa to be anything other than crapulescent.
Ooh. I like that word. It's a good word.
I mean, did somebody dare you to try to slip that in there, James? Like, what the hell?
No. You're just crapulescent.
It wasn't so much a dare as a request.
It's his word of the day calendar.
Yeah. I was like,
he's excited to share it with us.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I'm drinking.
Nice. What kind of whiskey is in there?
Jameson.
Alcoholic.
Jameson. Yeah, the alcoholic kind. Good job.
Oh, those are my two favorite kinds. Yeah. Alcoholic and Jenna's. For my part, I'm drinking heavy caffeine and tonic water because that's the chaser for my Dayquil.
Heavy caffeine, so is that like hell's the
uranium caffeine?
No, it's water water made from deuterium. That's heavy water.
Oh, there you go.
I'm glad we landed on the same joke, but that yours was more scientifically accurate.
You're welcome.
Nice.
I'm killing my latest bottle of Dalwhinnie 15.
Ooh. Well done.
It's been my favorite favorite creamy single malt scotch for probably about a decade now.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Creamy Single Malt is my Bloodhound Gang cover band that only uses bagpipes.
So anyway, what you been up to, Jenna?
What have I been up to? Well, drinking, number one. That's been great. I missed that a lot, especially here. Mm.
Well, yeah, that's fair. We're awful.
I mean, not Stefan, but like the rest of y'all.
No, the royal weir.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I had a couple of Thanksgiving shenanigans. One of them, I went to Salsa's house. Ugh.
That seems like a mistake.
Oh, it was. Yeah. So my partner and I should lead in with, we both have allergies to cats. And my partner has stronger difficulties with cat hair and dander than I do. So I can go to Salsa's house where there are cats for a few hours and be fine. Whereas my partner is pretty much popping Benadryl right the fuck away. But it's worth it to hang out with good friends and also Salsa.
Mm-hmm.
So we showed up early. My partner likes to cook and helped out with making things. And I sat on my ass and did nothing. I made my cornbread, which my cornbread is pretty fucking fantastic. Mm-hmm. So there is that.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Right. So hung out, watched people cook. After food, and like my poor partner, like every couple of hours was just popping more Benadryl. He ran out of Benadryl, started popping whatever allergy stuff they had at the Sterling house, and like just all of this, right?
Started freebasing.
Yeah. We finished with the meal, and my partner fell asleep on the couch.
No, he did not fall asleep. He passed the fuck out.
He did pass the fuck out. And I think a part of that is just all of the Benadryl. Like, he was having a hard time staying up. So, yeah, he passed the fuck out on the couch. And now I have a moral quandary. Do I let my partner continue to sleep on the couch, basically rolling around in all of the allergens that are causing this issue in the first place? Or Do I attempt to wake him up, knowing that that attempt will probably fail, but at least I could say I tried? And I decided I was having a great time chit-chatting with people. So I was just going to let him nap it out for a bit. He napped for like 2 hours. And I got in some quality chit-chatting time. And then I suddenly started having horrible eye stuff. And I was like, all right, now I need to go.
Now that I'm experiencing allergies.
Well, and the thing, like, I can't pop a Benadryl. I'm the one driving.
Wow.
And I am not. Nope. So, yeah, I was like, and I felt bad because it was right at the time of cleanup. And I'm like, well, gotta go. Fuck you all.
Why do you feel bad about that?
Wanted to help clean up.
It's not your fucking house. You don't have to clean
up. It's not, but I wanted to help.
It's not your house.
I know I don't have to. I wanted to. Don't tell me what I can do.
At the very least, Salsa, you did not post a selfie with a picture of the stack of dishes behind you left after the party saying, thanks everybody for a good time, like my mother fucking did at the after my birthday party last month.
And what your mother kind is, of passive aggressive bullshit is that?
You know you live in
passive aggressiveiest
right?
bullshit. Yes.
No. Wow. If you're at a party at my house, I'm cleaning up.
Excellent. So I'll bring my trash dishes to your house. Thanks.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. Yeah. If the party is at my house, I clean up. That's my problem, not anyone else's.
Is this how the beer bottle game got started?
No.
What? No.
He's trying to reference the...
Yeah, I know what he's referencing. That was just people being assholes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I... It's... Who... Wow. Wow. I'm sorry, Stefan. Wow.
Nope. Obviously, you were supposed to do it. It's your birthday. What the hell?
Well, no, the funny thing was is that this happened after one of the guests, who's a longtime family friend, who does frequently offer to wash dishes before she goes, and was, you know, declined to do, you know, recommended. It's like, no, don't worry about it. Just go home.
Oh my God.
So,
Shit.
I don't know. I think she was trying to be funny and,
she's failing.
Well, yeah, she had such a blank face on that, like, you really couldn't tell what her opinion of the situation was. But yeah, it was very like so but
I you know what I
they didn't
though.
Do that about yeah they didn't do that about Thanksgiving yet so
yeah
I'm gonna pretend that's
no
saving that for the Christmas card
by all means if you want to help out, awesome, nobody's going to stop you, but don't feel guilty about
I didn't feel guilty. You started this
by saying you did.
I said that I wanted to help and couldn't.
I wanted to feel guilty.
No, I never want to feel guilty.
Not that I did feel guilty. Just that I felt like I should.
I mean, yeah. Anyway. So yeah, as soon as my partner and I stepped out, like, my eyes were better, and he was like, oh man, yeah, like, it was definitely just pure allergen stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Friday we had, board games and food, crockpot food at my place.
Woo!
I made mashed potatoes and turkey. It was whiskey turkey.
Mm-mm.
It was pretty good. I had my cranberry walnut mushroom sauce.
Oh,
fantastic.
It's so good.
I want some.
You've had some before. I had it when I cooked at the Oaks.
I want
Yeah, but
you
want
more.
Some now.
No, that's fair. A couple of things of rice that didn't work out, some marshmallow yams that did. Joe made stew, like just a Guinness beef stew. And
all
it was,
of that was just amazing.
So good. So good. And we played board games and we played Jackbox games. And there was conversation and delightfulness. It was lovely. And then for the rest of the weekend, I started doing my tradition of watching Hallmark holiday movies. Because
the good
I
kind or the bad kind?
Oh, they're awful. They are garbage.
They're Hallmark, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
wasn't
but like
a rather redundant question.
that's the thing is that, you know, that it's possible that back at the beginning, at the early part where Hallmark was producing these Christmas films, they first started like trying to put serious effort into it. And then eventually they're like, oh, these assholes will watch this, whatever the fuck we put out. So who gives a shit? And then Netflix figured out what Hallmark was doing, and that's why the Netflix ones are all garbage too.
Yeah, so they're all
bad. There's more on Netflix?
Ooh,
I think so.
Shit. I've been watching on Hulu.
Is Miracle on 34th Street a Hallmark special?
Nope.
No.
There is a difference between Hallmark romance, like holiday romance movies. Like
a Hallmark movie is a big city woman who ain't got no time for love, goes back to her small town in Vermont.
There's a couple of different types. There's some random asshole who peaked in high school and is still there. Yeah.
And they've got to save the farm.
Or the Christmas tree lot.
Yep.
Or the... Yeah. The local radio station or whatever. Yeah. Yep.
And then our heroine realizes that maybe she too peaked in high school and she should really, you know.
Yeah. No, there is
not try to reach so hard. let go of the grind sets.
There's a difference between a Christmas movie and a Hallmark romance, holiday Hallmark romance.
I was wondering if Miracle on 34th Street was funded by Macy's, not Hallmark. I was wondering if the Hallmark Corporation had funded.
Miracle?
I just remembered that it was like a corporate.
Sure. Yeah.
I think it was a Macy's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. But yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
So like there are the holiday romance bullshit it definitely has grown beyond Hallmark, but it is still absolutely trash, and I love it. I love watching them, like I love reading shitty romance novels. And there are good romance novels out there. I like the shitty ones. I it's like Twinkies for my brain. It is junk food for my soul. It is awful and I want it. Last night's show, there was it was actually the LA guy went to Colorado, small town Colorado, and found love there, so they flipped it. They gender swapped the general narrative. But yeah, and it was such hot garbage. There was one of them, I started it and Joe was in the room and he looked at it and he was like, oh my God, is there a magic Negro in this? Because, and that's a trope, right?
It is. Yeah.
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 No, yeah.
That's the trope. There was a black guy that ran the Christmas tree lot that started dishing out all sorts of fucking advice.
Oh, God.
And well, you know, kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, God, this is so awful.
He used his shinin abilities.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get sued. good. Wow. That's spectacular.
Yeah. It really is. I have a drinking game. Where I watch the show, and as soon as the flannel comes out, I pause and I just take a shot.
Yeah.
At some point, the big city person will end up wearing a flannel, and that's when you know that they've started to buy into stuff.
Yeah,
like they're now in love when they wear the flannel. And with the DJ scenario, the dude started wearing the flannel. Like he went to the chick's mom's house to help set up the Christmas tree.
No.
And like he showed up in a different outfit than he was wearing halfway through the hanging out time. Like there was like he showed up in one outfit.
Changed
and then
outfits.
when they moved to the inside.
Oh,
he was
wow.
wearing a different outfit. And I was like, oh, my
at
God.
Somebody else.
Oh, my
house?
God. Yeah. Yeah. Like, but he had to wear the flannel. Like you got to wear the flannel. Yeah. Got to wear the flannel. Got to wear the flannel.
You know,
did he change
any
pants?
Other... Yeah.
I don't know. It was jeans.
In any other movie, this would be called a continuity error.
Yeah. No, this is a part of the magic of Christmas romance bullshit.
The slow descent into madness
yes.
of a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Yeah, there was one of them, the big city financier fall in love with a teacher.
Why
and
would you do that?
Oh God.
Well, Salsa, you need to be a I'm big God. City,
yeah.
big city businessman yeah. first to know.
True.
I mean, I go to work at a business in the city.
Go to work?
Big city tier two.
Right. That big city tier two is the name
solutions
of
solutions engineer or whatever the fuck your title is.
But yeah, so the finance
look,
guy
success liaison.
Like
I'm
halfway through starts wearing his flannel.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So he changes into this flannel in the middle of a party at
yep.
the romantic.
He doesn't
interest,
even change
mom,
into it. He just is house. Wearing.
He is suddenly wearing it. Yeah,
the
no, the
flannel.
Yeah, like suddenly flannel. And I'm like, where the fuck did you get this flannel?
Suddenly flannel.
Yeah. No, that's how you know. That's the moment you know that we have
yeah.
flipped over into the in love portion for the big city person, whether a guy or a girl. Because a lot of the ones that I watched this weekend... It was the dude that had to have a change of heart. And yeah, like I actually, I have not yet seen the trope of the big city girl going to the small town. So, but then there's another genre this year.
What's that?
This year.
What's that? What's that Russian play about the guy slowly turning into a cockroach?
Oh, it's not a play. It's a book called or a short story called Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis. Okay.
By Kafka.
Okay. I was struggling to find it where it's like I'm trying to think of like how to riff on this where it's got to be Metamorphosis, but you're slowly becoming covered in flannel.
Right.
yeah,
and Mr.
that's
Samsa wakes up one morning to find that he is a bug. Some kind of a beetle.
Wait,
so
is like
something of
so is
size.
Flannelism similar to lycanthropy?
Yes, but instead of it being once every month on the full moon, it's once every year during
after the first
days
snowfall.
Of Christmas. Yeah. Ooh,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm, there you go.
Honey, I have to be honest with you. Before we get married, I need to tell you about my rare genetic condition.
I'm Minnesotan.
Genetically Minnesotan.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
all
this
right.
snow begins to fall. Oh,
we should really let Jenna tell her story here.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
I was just going to provide more information on Hallmark holiday movies. The big town, small town trope is one of them.
Yes.
Another one, however, is The Christmas Prince. And this can be the prince, the CEO, the billionaire, the whatever, right? But it's your basic Cinderella story. In fact, one of the Hallmark movies that I watched over the weekend was like Christmas Cinderella or a Cinderella Christmas or something like that. And you've got the girl, the poor girl that meets the rich dude, under whatever circumstances, the Cinderella Christmas that I watched, was, the poor girl was a caterer for the rich dude's, Christmas ball or whatever. Like, it is just this, like, dude falls in love with chick falls in love with dude, and they, mm-hmm. yeah. And, but like, there's always a side plot. There's always a bitchy woman who's trying to get in the way. Mm-hmm. There is always, like, she doesn't trust him because he's been a playboy. He doesn't trust her because women are always after his money. There's no flannel moment that happens in those particular ones. The flannel moments are for the big city, small city, right?
What about the moment where she goes from wearing, you know, her maid uniform or wearing her, like, caterer's, you know, whatever,
ball gown.
And then the like the Cinderella reveal thing.
So, like, for the Cinderella Christmas one, she actually went to, it was a masquerade ball. So she went to the Christmas ball that she was throwing, met mm-hmm. him, but she was wearing a mask, you know, mm-hmm. and not like a good mask, like it was pretty, no. but it was one of those masquerade masks. So it was entirely impossible to tell what she looked like
right.
with a fucking strip of fabric across her eyes. But yeah.
And it works for Clark Kent.
Yeah, I suppose. I feel like. Okay, that's a whole other topic. He's got to have some mind powers or something else that he doesn't know about to pull off that illusion with just glasses. That's my personal thought. But anyway, no, so she got to wear the dress to meet the guy, but then, had to go back to all of her working stuff, and then she doesn't get to wear the dress again until the end, when he figures out that it's her and they have their little wedding thing, right?
Aww.
So, yeah, that's another form of holiday romance garbage. I could go on, and I feel like maybe I should stop.
Maybe not tonight, because I think we
not tonight. Need to... We can space this out, but
We need to. You know,
I want a catalog.
We have a guest, but I would love to see a, like, you know, a Matt Kesson version of the Hallmark movies, like, you know, mystery or Monster Science version.
Yeah.
Of like
Monster Science Hallmark.
Yeah, just a lecture that Matt Kesson style lecture.
Yes.
On the different types of Hallmark movies.
I'll see what I can do.
Was when he was attacked by roving flannel and became the man of her dreams.
Yeah.
Right.
Anyway. Yes.
So anyway, that's what I've been up to. Salsa, what have you been up to?
Oh, I had a Thanksgiving party. And then And then another Thanksgiving party.
Oh.
And then another Thanksgiving party.
Mm.
And then another Thanksgiving party. Yeah. No, I had four in a row. Oh my God, I couldn't eat.
Which anymore. Relatives? Like, relatives, friends, things
so,
like that?
I mean, it, relatively speaking, it was friends on the first one was on Thanksgiving, the one you were at, that was our Friendsgiving. The second one on Friday was another Friendsgiving, but we didn't host that one. That was a different friends group. And then Saturday was with my wife's mother's family, and then Sunday was with my wife's father's family.
Sure. All right.
And all of those different groups of people Thanksgiving very differently. And so we got a really nice variety of different.
Can I get an invite to the one there where there's lots of drinking?
Oh, they all have that.
Oh, good. All right. Good.
Yeah, that one is fairly universal.
Good.
But they're just fantastic food. The one thing that I love about both my family and my friend group is they all know how to cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, my God, some of the food we had was just poor.
So, like cornbread?
I mean, that was take it or leave it, but the rest of it was good.
I had a personal moment of pride when your little boy was like, who made the cornbread? It's so good. And I was like,
yeah, no, that was really good cornbread.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we definitely, we ran the gamut of different, you know, meats and sides and desserts and stuff like that. You know, we had ham for one and roast beast for another one and, you know, turkey for the next one and pork for the next one. So it was, it was a nice variety of protein.
Way to eat all of the animals.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the desserts were delicious. I made a pumpkin roulade for our one at our house. And then I did a trifle for the second Friendsgiving. And then that same trifle made it to the next two parties. Because I don't know if you've ever seen a trifle, but they're huge.
It's a lot.
I mean, they're meant to be huge and ostentatious and ridiculously overdone.
It sounds kind of the opposite of the meaning of a trifle.
Doesn't that happen a lot?
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, it was a lot of fun doing that. And but the other thing that we did is my family has been slowly working through looking at our ancestry and you know, trying to put together our family trees and stuff like that. And my mother found something really interesting.
Oh, really?
Yes. So she found a newspaper clipping from way back and discovered that my great, 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 possibly one more great grandfather was a baron.
Wow.
Are you fucking royalty?
Nobility, but
nobility.
Not royalty.
Well, nobility. Yeah, yeah, whatever.
Apparently he in Moravia.
Oh, hey,
back in the old country.
Yeah.
He was Baron Brunner.
Ooh.
And when the Habsburgs came to power, he snoped out and came to America.
Interesting. All right.
So I will now, from this point on, only answer to Baron. So
doesn't sound like you're going to be answering.
Let it be known. I will also answer to Baron Salsa or Your Highness or your Lordship. No. Sorry.
Your Lordship.
Yes.
I will then have to request that you only refer to me by my ladyship.
Absolutely.
100%. Which is in fact titled. Like, I have the piece of paper.
No, I know. No. I know.
All right.
Yeah. No. Good. I mean, I do outrank you, but I will still absolutely call you your ladyship.
I know. If you're a lord and I'm a lady, like,
I mean, there are different levels of lords.
Doesn't matter.
A baron and a duke are both my lord, but you know, I mean, it doesn't matter because my wife is a duchess, so it doesn't matter anyway.
That's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but she fucking earned that shit.
Yeah, no shit.
You're just riding on the coattail of long dead ancestors.
I would definitely agree that Salsa is a dookie.
But I mentioned to my mother, I was like, well, you know, I'll only answer to you know, Baron or your lordship. And to which my brother, pedantically, as he is wont to do, pointed out that because they abdicated their title and because I am not the firstborn, and you know, and you know, blah blah blah,
right,
I would not have inherited this title. And my mother was like, well, nobody else is claiming it right now, so dip.
Yes.
And I mean, to be honest, there are lots of royalty throughout history that are only royalty because they say, I'm in charge now.
Sure.
And everyone's like, because
God said so. That's right. Why.
or because my sword says so.
Lobbing a scimitar at you.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I have just as much claim to that throne as anyone else. So,
I want to see you go get it, Salsa.
Uh-huh. A baron fucking, it is.
Yeah.
No, I'm in absentia.
Ah.
Oh, that's,
I see.
That's so far away, absentia.
Yeah, exactly.
<It's>... Is that that's a smaller province of Moravia, isn't it?
Absentia. Right, yeah.
So anyway, yes, that is my big news.
Well, then, your lordship. Yeah, I'm not calling you Baron, but I will refer to you as lordship.
Okay.
Because that feels a bit more
equal. I appreciate that, my lady.
Oh, thank you. God, anytime a dude says my lady, it's not okay.
Never.
I'm not. Somebody ruined it for everybody.
Own a trilby.
He does.
I was going to say, you need to doff your hat at the same time you do that.
Yeah.
I don't wear a hat in the house. What do you...
Yeah, what does he look like? A
sounds
commoner?
Like a personal problem.
Yep.
What is
that? Right.
I don't... Okay.
I don't think Salsa understands the reference, and that's fine.
I don't
incel,
care about the reference.
So. Yeah, incel dude. It's a trope. Man, we got a lot of tropes today, y'all. But no, the trope of the incel boy trying to be all like quote nice guy to a chick by using like m'lady, and he often wears a trilby and like
because
all
thinks
of
it's
that stuff. Yeah.
I thought trilbies were a hipster thing. Or is it an incel thing now?
It's been an incel thing for a while. God. Yeah. Sorry, somebody should have told you.
Can't have anything.
The problem is that you actually look good in a trilby. So, like, I have a hard time being like, you shouldn't wear one, because you look pretty good in them.
Well, I'm going to fucking wear it anyway, because, you know, just
right.
Fucking are assholes doesn't mean I should change my name away from...
Yeah. But my, yeah, the
it's not my
the
fault
whole...
that no talent ass clown is named has the same name as me.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole m'lady thing is a pretty widespread trope
this,
associated with the thing.
I thought this was a m'lort and m'lady reference.
Not quite.
No. No. Although I will now refer to you as Malort.
You bitch.
You did this to yourself, fucker.
You bitch.
You're the one that brought it up. Malort.
Oh, I hate you.
Yeah, that, I will call you Malort. That is, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm
all right.
I'm on
I
board for Malort.
I have so many regrets right now.
Is one of them ever having had any Malort ever, at all ever in your history
yes.
of living? Yeah.
So
right, cool.
at the second Friendsgiving, a couple
okay.
of my friends who have over the past number of years, one of them at some point had a bottle of Akavit, and the two of them made basically a pact that whenever they had a party, that they were going to each do a shot of Akavit.
Okay.
And the definition of party was pretty loose. It was basically any gathering of more than two people. And so they would just hate drink this Malort, or I'm sorry, this Akavit.
Yeah.
And then when the first bottle went away, they got another bottle. Well, the second bottle went away, and the one who did not know what Malort was said, "We're going to change things up," and bought a bottle of Malort.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And so now they have a bottle
of
Malort
no,
they have
no,
to
no.
get through.
Oh, no, because you can dress up Akavit.
Well, that is
yeah. No, deeply. No, it was.
You can't
it was, the,
do
the pact was.
Damn
they
thing
to
Malort.
A shot.
Oh.
Party.
Fuck.
And yeah, she was like, I'm regretting that choice. Should have gone back to Akavit.
Yeah, that's not.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
But
you
it
know,
was,
honestly, I'll drink Akavit.
But there was
right,
a
that.
Perverse level of schadenfreude watching people at the party Oof. Who had never tried Malort before. try it for the first time.
Ugh.
Where it's just like, this is amusing, but also I feel your pain.
That is brutal.
Anyway, James, what about you?
Yeah, what have you been up to?
So from the Lego store, my spouse and I purchased the Lego Haunted Mansion model.
Oh.
And at the same time, we received a pack of holiday decor Legos. Things like roasted turkeys, pies, snowflakes, Christmas trees, gifts, things like that. And when you receive these two sets together, there's only really one answer for that. So
decorate the Haunted Mansion.
Right. While watching the original Dungeons and Dragons movie from the 2000s, which is a, I think, spectacular turn.
That's one with Marlon Wayans, right?
Yes.
I enjoyed it. It was terrible, but I enjoyed it.
Right. It is watchably bad. Speaking of the trope of the magical black best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also the black guy dying first, and also
the black person being in half
the film, and yeah. It was worse than I remembered, and I remembered it being bad. And so we watched that, we put together the Haunted Mansion, and we decorated it, which it's super fun. I'll take photos and put them in chat. So there was that. I purchased and started playing Mario RPG, which I've never played before. I didn't play the original. And so
This is
really fun. I saw the movie Wish, and it's fine. It's not.
I was wondering about it. Like, yeah. I saw it, and I was like, that's kind of cute, but I don't know. It kind of depends on what wacky adventures they go on for me. Because, like, the setup, I'm like, that's cute
enough.
That's
the new Pixar one, right?
Yeah, with a little star.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The
setup is really good.
Look good.
Nothing grabbed me in the trailer.
Yeah.
The acting is really good. The movie itself is beautiful. It's got a ton of fun references and Easter eggs, but I don't
think story
just
the isn't
songs
overly
are really
exciting.
But the story, like I said, the setup, the idea, the message of it is
right. The premise
really,
is great,
a really good one.
But yeah,
I don't know that the songs are going to be award winning, anything like that.
Disney has had one of the songs, I think it's This Is the Thanks I Get, rolled into a couple of their like automatic playlists on Spotify that Jennifer and I have been playing at home with Kohai. And the tenor of that song and the lyrics is kind of gross.
Oh, it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
It basically some dude being fucking, you know,
a dude.
Late boomer dad, you know, being really bitter about, you know, I do all of this and no one says thank you anymore, you know, or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I assume that song is attributed to the king or magistrate or whoever it was that was in the trailer that was
right.
Yeah, that is set up to be the villain, so that makes sense that he would have a gross song.
Yeah, from my perspective, that's the only exposure I've had of the movie. So it's like, that's really drawing me in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that old male tropey attitude that I don't want to associate myself with anymore.
There were some really nice things in it. And I think it is weirdly as much as it's sort of, watchable. it is a really good tribute to Disney's 100th because it has callbacks and Easter eggs to a lot of their early stuff.
Yeah, I heard something on a different podcast that I listened to where some people had seen it and that like someone had one of the people had recently gone on a studio back tour.
Oh, sure.
Disney Studios, and like the thing that they learned about Wish is that one of the things that Disney planned for that is they used at least some of every style of animation that Disney has used in the past 100 years.
Okay.
And then everyone is like, well, why the fuck aren't they advertising that fact? Like, that's cool. Why the fuck are you having an exclusive backlot tour to learn this really awesome thing of like this real, you know, point of intention that they're putting into the production of this movie. Is like, lead with that, you dopes, you know?
Right.
Why are you not doing that?
Yeah.
Well, like one of the Easter eggs that I spotted in the movie that is not consequential to the plot, and something that is really fun to watch for once you know about it or once you figure it out is that the friends are patterned after very specific early Disney characters.
Okay.
And things like that. And it's there are references to those things. And it's an appealing film. It's beautiful. It's weirdly, the thing that I like about it is that the things that I like about it stuck with me, and the rest of it is just sort of fine. There's no aftertaste. It's not that there's a bad aftertaste. It's that there's no aftertaste. Nothing lingers.
That's kind of just what I felt from the trailer. It felt like it was going to be something that just kind of exists.
Yeah.
Is there one side character that's just all of the seven dwarves?
No. No.
Damn.
I'll spoil that for you later, off the podcast.
Oh jeez! All right, no spoilers.
There are only six of them,
exactly. So, I don't know. I go and see it. The movie that I did see very recently that I will absolutely recommend that I had fully had a fucking ball watching was The Marvels. And I may have talked about that a little bit. Go see it. Recommend it. I did a Ville show. It was the Shakespeare Ville show. And my favorite thing from that show, the two favorite things from that show weren't even in the show with me in them. One of them was in the show, but it was Duck and Nikki were doing a scene from Much Ado About Nothing as a Chubby Bunnies challenge.
Nice.
Okay, so that's fun.
It was Benedict and Beatrice just becoming increasingly full of marshmallows.
Yes.
They're barely making noise anymore. They're just gesturing what their intention is. Fuck, it was... I was laughing super
I believe hard. I know that that's would difficult be amazing. To believe,
yeah. Yeah, it was great.
That does sound delightful.
And it reminded me of the spicy chicken wing Shakespeare challenge with the end of Romeo and Juliet. And so if you haven't seen that, look those words up on Google. That's probably work safe. But and then the other thing was that afterwards, for the second round, Tim had said like, yeah, we burned through a whole shitload of Shakespeare material, and I thought it was going to be a short round, and I was like, yeah, as soon as they start coming up, you know, with a lot of their regular, you know, the kind of stock insults and things like that, as soon as they're no longer on topic for the show, I'll cut it and declare the winner. But he was like, you guys just kept fucking going.
Yeah.
You kept.
We all had those Shakespearean mugs.
So, yeah. That was fantastic. I had an absolute blast doing that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Cool.
And now I'm looking forward to the Fuck 2023 show.
Oh man.
Always a good one.
Yeah. The Fuck That Year is always just a good round out. So. All right. Gentlemen, should we take a break and then come back and find out what the fuck? Oh, okay. So that was correct?
Oh, sorry. No, I just jumped the gun a little bit, I think.
That seems right based on what we know of you.
God damn it, Salsa.
Salsa Superior, jump the gun.
Okay, we should take a break so that we can come back and actually talk to our guest as opposed to him talking to us. Yeah, let's take a break.
Right.
Take a break because I need booze. More importantly, Stefan needs booze.
Me off a piece of that podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, Apropos of Nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Also, everybody, mark it on your calendars. Jenna has disagreed with Salsa, which I posit has never, ever happened before.
I don't know how the phrase mark your calendars works. Like, that or you just don't pay attention to me, which I feel is more likely.
James, does the phrase, and we're back, I'm Salsa, mean anything to you?
And I'm James. That's what it means to me.
Okay.
And I'm Jenna. And special guest.
Oh, no. Look, if you get the first one, if you can't sink or swim by the second one by yourself, then that's on you.
Right. I just like Stefan as a person, so I'm gonna help out.
I do too, which is why I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, we're giving one opportunity to senpai and one opportunity to Kohai.
Okay, Kohai can have as many opportunities as Kohai wants.
That's true.
Sure.
Cuteness will get you everywhere with me. I am the great Auntie Jenna. Kids are adorable. The end.
I am the great and powerful Jenna.
This is true.
Yeah.
You need more gravitas in your voice if you're going to do that, though, James. I'm just saying.
I don't want to strain.
Reverb should help that.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, Stefan. How are you doing, buddy? You wanna talk about yourself a bit? What have you been up to? What are you doing? What's you about?
Sure.
Are you here to talk about something specific?
Maybe a couple things. Since we did break to refill drinks, I did want to mention that since I had mentioned I was killing my bottle of Dalwhinnie, I did that in the first segment and actually ran out, and so I had to grab a bottle of Egan's, which I ended up killing as well in the first segment. So I've switched over to making a cocktail of a strawberry Rumtopf that Jennifer made 4 years ago that everyone is basically assessed as being too sweet by itself. I'm actually making a mixed drink of it with a can of Zevia zero-calorie ginger beer.
Ooh, good to know.
Strawberry and ginger beer. So.
I'm just going to write this down.
Yeah, is it the low-sugar kind, though?
Yeah, Zevia is made with stevia, which is, I think, incredibly, overwhelmingly
sweet. What does Steve have to do with this?
Zevia. God damn it.
Warren Zevon?
Mm-hmm. It's German for the part. The.
But yeah, no, as a, the Zevia ginger beer, I had originally gotten it to make Dark and Stormies with some dark rum that I had, and I really didn't like the taste by itself. Okay. Yeah, the stevia just sort of overpowered it, but I figured with the room top being too sweet, maybe the stevia sugar would cut it, and it's actually really pretty slick. I originally started the tiny cans here.
It's actually made with. I thought that was a joke that James made.
No, I was being completely serious.
Hmm. Oh,
which I understand is not helpful.
No, that
also. Do you not know what stevia is?
I know what stevia is. I didn't know what Zevia was or whatever that.
It's a brand.
I've never heard of it before, and I thought James was making a bad joke.
Stefan showed us the can and everything.
I'm not looking at the camera.
Yeah, you're too busy fucking with your
fingernails or whatever.
I don't look at the camera when I'm recording.
Painfully aware.
Who wants to look at y'all?
Yeah, the Zevia can is like 7.5 ounces, and I originally mixed 1.5 ounces of room top. And it needs a little bit more, like closer to 2.5 ounces of room top at the sweetness that it is. The other room tops that Jennifer's made over the years, mixed berry and I can't see from over here, but the other ones that are not strictly that have other berries mixed into it have been much more evenly balanced, not overly sweet.
Gotcha.
Does the Zevia ginger beer, does it taste like industry? Like, one of the problems I have with stevia is it just tastes like...
metal.
Like metal. Does it taste like that?
With the room top, no. I do remember that being... Without a significant amount of some other flavor covering it, yes, it does have a really weird side taste to it, so...
I was wondering about that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not that one. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, other than that, as I mentioned, as one of the things that I mentioned in my Fast Five from a couple weeks ago, I'm finally playing a lot of fucking video games because I now have a Steam Deck.
Ooh, shit,
yeah.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, it's basically the mobility of a Nintendo Switch, but with all of my actual PC games, or a lot of them at least. God. It's real fucking nice.
Is it? God damn.
Yeah, especially playing from about 11:30 p.m. until about 2 a.m. It's pretty great on the nights that I'm not actually sleeping, co-sleeping with Owen. So
okay.
But so I've been playing, getting back into a bunch of things. Put a bunch of stuff that I hadn't played before on it. So recently there'd been some discussion amongst some friends about a very heavily art styled Metroidvania called Blasphemous.
Oh.
And so I realized that I had it and decided to throw it on. It's pretty interesting. The way that I had described it originally is pretty strictly a Metroidvania. It's pretty brutal. And I described it as the art style as being by the concept of Catholic guilt. because there is if you know a lot about
Catholicism,
medieval European religious iconography, there is a lot of it. And I actually recently found a YouTube channel called Gingy, G-I-N-G-Y, who has done...
And Gingy was his name. Oh, sorry.
Something like that, yeah. But his last couple of years of content have been sort of these really deep sort of story analyses of various games. And in particular, he had a story analysis of Blasphemous and the... its sequel, Blasphemous 2, obviously. But he remarked actually that one of the iconic things about the game is that your main character has this really weird, like, giant conical spiral dunce hat helmet on. And apparently that is specifically something that the Spanish Catholics do.
Okay.
He mentioned it, and then I forgot to follow up on what it is. But yeah, it's like a thing that Spanish Catholics do. The developer might have been Spanish, but anyway, so he went into a number of those things, and just goes really. Has like a 50 minute or so video that goes really deep into the story and what happens. And there's of course a lot of spoilers if you actually, you know, want to discover all of these things to yourself on your own. But then he also, there are a number of, there are like multiple endings to the game where you have to do certain things that you wouldn't necessarily think to do on your own.
Gotcha.
So it's pretty handy. Yeah.
So it would be a good thing to look up after you are no longer worried about it being spoiled. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that warning.
Yeah, or even at the beginning of the game when you don't care about spoilers. So,
or that if you are Salsa, and one of us is.
But Genji's also done a number of other ones like
spoiler, James.
But yeah, like he had a pretty interesting breakdown of another recent Souls-like game called The Lies of P.
Sure.
I don't know if you've seen that.
My brother-in-law's been playing that one.
Apparently, it's a really weird adaptation. It's like a Slavic-ish adaptation of Pinocchio, trying to be Dark Souls.
Yeah, it's a Souls-like Pinocchio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so he goes through the whole story, and since I'm not really a fan of Souls-like games, I'm like, all right, sure, I'll go read, I'll go listen about it, and Yeah, so he's got a number of really interesting videos about game stories like that, and so I'd recommend checking that out if you're interested.
I do like game stories and games with stories.
Yeah, so as long as you are not worried about learning the story without the emergent part of the gameplay, then so that's that. Then I recently picked up a roguelike called Hades.
Oh,
that, okay.
Is super like
of Catholic guilt.
That's
a Greek
super giant game.
Yeah.
Super giant. That's a quality game.
Yeah. I originally, it was interesting. I originally didn't really understand roguelikes. Like the first roguelike that I played was Dead Cells a while back.
Oh.
But the first like 3 or 4 hours that I was playing it, I was trying to play it like a Metroidvania. And then just really getting like frustrated and disappointed of dying and losing everything and, you know, going back to the beginning and just having this like really paltry advancement. Around the in-game life. But then I learned, or made the realization, it's like, oh no, what you want to do is you want to get as far as you can, as fast as you can. And there are waypoints in which you can sort of bank these, you know, upgrade currency that you can collect. And that's how you're supposed to do it. You're not supposed to slowly and methodically go around and explore everything like you do in a Metroidvania. Rather, you're supposed to be.
Oh, I would have so many problems.
Huh. It's a very.
I am always a collect place. Everything along the way person. Oh no.
Yeah.
So
I'm a hoarder as well.
Yeah.
So now that I understand, sort of how to play roguelikes, getting into Hades, it was just. Hitting the ground running, it was really fantastic and, you know, had a really good time, starting that out. And then over the weekend after Thanksgiving, I got back into a game called Yoku's Island Express, which I got for free on the Epic Games Store as one of their, you know, weekly giveaways sometime in the last 4 years or whatever. I played a little bit of it, but then. Got it on Steam some other time, and so now since I have the Steam Deck, I'm going to play it on there. So that is an actual Metroidvania, but it's also a pinball game.
Oh,
so your main character Yoku is a dung beetle who is like attached to this spherical stone that you just push around to get around this new island where you've been hired as the postmaster. And so
wait, but you're a dung beetle.
You're a dung beetle pushing
but
around.
You've been hired.
Yep.
As a postmaster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you pay a dung beetle in?
Really, it's fruit. It's shitty pay. Yeah.
Fruit? Is that answer?
That's the currency. The currency in the game, yeah, is fruit. You find various pieces of tropical fruit in bubbles, and so you collect them, and that's what stocks your wallet. But yeah, half of the game field as you move around is like this is a digital pinball game. So you just have to go through a bunch of pinball levels.
I would have pictured like Katamari or something like that.
Yeah, this is 2D.
They already have a game like that. It's called Katamari.
I don't understand.
Yeah, you lost me.
But yeah, so yeah. About at least 50% of your traversal around the game map is via pinball tables.
That sounds so
cool.
I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty slick. It was fun to get back into, and yeah, I'm definitely farther now than I got on the Epic install, so that's been fun.
Sure.
But yeah, other than that, just raising a 15-month-old, so.
Yeah.
How's that going?
We've turned a real interesting corner. The day after Thanksgiving, he finally decided that walking is easier than crawling. So, he's toddling around like a little zombie, as Jennifer categorizes it. Because he's not walking straight in front. He's sort of kicking his legs out sideways as a toddler does, and he has his arms out for balance. And so, yeah, Jennifer's calling that a zombie walk, and it's pretty fun.
It's adorable, and I love it.
Adorable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's been fun. Other than that, he seems to be developing a low grade fever today, so that's not fun.
Well, I hope he feels better soon.
Yeah, I hope so. We don't have any big travel or anything for another 3 weeks, so that's when we go down to visit Jennifer's family for Christmas, but that'll be a nice break from reality for a couple of weeks at the end of the year. So that'll have its own benefits. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Steam,
what a seg!
we are getting into the Steam winter sale season.
Oh, I'm so excited.
And as such, we are bound for the return of the annual, this is now the sixth annual AON podcast Steam Secret Santa's gift exchange.
Oh my god.
Yeah, last year was 5 years, and that was one of the reasons why I thought, hey, you know, this would be great to move to shift venues, essentially.
Actually properly integrate into the AON world.
So, calling back to my Fast Five from a couple weeks ago, this year my plan is to have it hosted on the Apropos of Nothing Discord. So if you do want to participate, you kind of need to join the Discord. I think most...
we'll pop another invite link in the show notes.
Yeah, we can do that.
Most everybody who has participated in the last 3 years is already active on the Discord. So that should be easy. But yeah, my plan, one of the things I'm excited to is, as I mentioned in the postscript, is that I can do Discord bots. Or I can use a Discord bot to do all of the actual like communication between participants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, my plan is to, so I spoke with Jenna and James to do some back end stuff before tonight. And not that kind, James. That's some other time. So Jen has created a section for the Secret Santa's Exchange. My plan is to I'll make an announcement in the general chat and ask everybody who wants to participate to vote with basically an emote reaction to that post, and they'll be preceded, so you just have to click on the damn thing instead of long press or select react and then figure out whatever emote I want you to use. They'll just be there. Don't worry about that. But
so if you give Stefan any reaction at all, anything whatsoever, no, just react to Stefan.
So crapulent. All right.
I'm reacting, by the way.
Yeah. James, I hope you screen grab that, because we need to import that as the emote.
That's not my job.
Yeah. Damn it. Oh, well.
Not it.
I don't know what the fuck.
I built the category. We probably could now. You know what? No, Salsa, just hold that for... I love that he's actually holding it. Like, I'm going to take a screen grab. I think James might.
Let me try to remember my...
How long can we keep Salsa holding on to this? It's pretty good.
Got it.
It is. It's pretty good.
All right, cool. Okay. So yeah, just do a, just do a one by one square around Salsa's face. That'd be great. import that as a new react. So anyway, the emote response will act as your sort of opt-in to participate, and I'll add you to the private channel in the Steam Secret Santa section, and we'll go from there. So that'll be the plan. If anyone who's a regular listener and has not participated in this recently, the goal for it, the goal for the Secret Santa Exchange is that buy-in is $20. Seems pretty reasonable for people or for folks over the last while. And the goal is your recipient should have a list, should have their Steam wish list curated. And basically you as the giftor will go and look at their wish list. Find
giftor.
Yep. So and then just pick whatever amount of things, preferably on deep discount, that you can get up to a maximum of $20, or give or take 5% or so. There have definitely been times where I've been, where I've definitely gone over, because it's like, it's 23, but that means they get an extra four things,
Right. I have personally gone up to 30. I don't do it every time, but I knew this person really needed to own this specific game. So
aim for up to 20, maybe 20 and change before tax. And then it ends up being like
something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But $20 it's fun. In my mind, the most fun is when you can get as many different things as you possibly can. Because it's just fun to, to throw 11 things at them.
Like you're pulling things out of a stocking, just stuffer.
Exactly. Exactly.
One of my favorite pastimes is to get two things from their wish list that are of a reasonable size, that are on deep discount, that they might not get for themselves, and then just get a bunch of 50 and 99 cent games that might be absolutely phenomenal. And I've ended up finding a lot of my favorite erstwhile games while doing that too. So
you also end up throwing a lot of shit at people, though, too.
Yes, I do.
Yep.
I have bought several people.
Ask me about my copy of There's Poop in My Soup in my Steam library.
Oh,
yep.
God, I have a bunch of dating sims that I still to this day have not played.
About that.
But yeah. Somebody gave me a whole some of which, and then he was very excited about it. And it's like, no, I think you're really going to like this one. And I'm like, sure, buddy.
Look,
still haven't played it. I don't know. Maybe I would really love it, but
maybe you would. Maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. But I do. I feel like of all the people who could use a dating sim, that not having to engage people in real world dates and instead being able to be disappointed in a venue where you can save scum would be really a better experience for you.
I don't. You know what? I'm happy where I'm at right now.
You and I played Mystery Date.
It's true. That went poorly. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was hilarious, but poorly.
It was.
So Stefan, when I purchased this game for my Santee, for my recipient, do I give it to him right away? Do I schedule it for a specific day or time?
Well, since this is since this is a Secret Santa, and it seems the most appropriate that the date to deliver these would be Christmas Day, December 25th. So, yeah. Historically, I don't know when. Everybody is certainly welcome to schedule whenever. But, yeah, preferably on December 25th. And I usually schedule delivery at like 8 a.m., you know, before most people will wake up so that they can wake up to that in their email.
Yeah.
I think I tend to do mine for around midnight 05 or something like that. Because I don't understand how time works. But if somebody is actively up that late and needs to decompress and a new game is going to help, have at.
Aww. Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about it.
Like, you've just put together your first bicycle.
Oh, God.
You could probably use a game of Tetris. Nice, relaxing Tetris.
Oh, no.
Well, so. I mean,
is there a way to have the algorithm so that James does not have my name?
Oh, I would like to second that question.
Jenny, you want a second that James doesn't get salsa as a recipient?
Yeah.
Wait, I would like to put in my own bid to not have James.
Oh, okay, that's the way you're going.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I've been so delighted by his gift-giving in the past. I wouldn't want to deprive that opportunity to anybody else, so...
I certainly can see if that is an option for any of the bots that I'm auditioning for this. They'll probably be implemented next week. So I've got some time to investigate and try things out. But historically, doing it, doing the assignment all by myself manually, I have always, you know, tried to make sure that someone doesn't give to or receive from the same person 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Fair.
But also the correct answer is, sorry, Salsa and Jenna, we're in the middle of a change freeze right now.
Oh, and, God. Yeah. I fucking hate you. I hope I get to gift you some bullshit this year, James.
I mean,
actually, I think I got you last year. Wait. I think I got one of you last year.
You got me some really nice, like, a couple of things that were on my wish list, and a couple of, like, survival games that were not on my wish list, and I've been having a fantastic. So thank you.
Okay.
There's nothing stopping you buying a bunch of trash games and gifting them to James anyway.
That's true. What if I buy him a bunch of garbage and then send it before his Secret Santa does, but say I'm a Secret Santa just fuck with him? God, I shouldn't say this out loud, should I?
Well,
I don't know. You might give other people the idea.
Well, I mean, Salsa's not going to remember. He doesn't listen to me during these podcasts anyway.
Or after.
Right. Okay. Yep. So, yeah. No, I for one, am very excited about having a Secret Santa section and continuing the tradition. And I personally appreciate all the effort that you put into this, Stefan. Because then I don't have to do it. But but no, like, it's such a fun thing that I actively look forward to in my community every year. And it's delightful. So thank you. And also in the Secret Santa area, will we be able to shit talk each other during the season?
Oh yeah,
that's important to me.
Yeah, the plan is to create probably a new channel for each year. That's where the participants will be able to to talk or shit talk or whatever. And and then I'll just archive that for, you know, once it's done.
Excellent. I'm gonna talk so much shit. So
that's the gift that
yes, it is. Anything else that you would like to say about that or anything else, Stefan?
I would welcome anyone who even if they're not a regular player of PC games, if they want to participate, feel free to. And, you know, if there's anything that, you know, if it's particularly difficult to find something that you want, or if you particularly want to just give and not receive, we can figure something out. Yeah, you don't have to be a regular PC game player, and you don't necessarily have to have a long, you know, a significant wish list to participate. So yeah, we can figure stuff out if you want to be a part of it. It's a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. So.
All right.
With that, we will definitely share a link in the show notes to the Discord so that you can write an invitation, if you will.
Indeed.
So should we take a break?
Yep.
Yeah.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Sometimes he bros the dudes.
Mm-hmm. And look, we're back.
Are we?
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stefan.
Yay!
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Five, 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 five.
No, no, That's not how this works. God damn it, Salsa.
Ding.
I hate you both. I hate you both. I hate everybody here. Fuck you. Fuck you. Stefan, you're cool. Fuck you again. I'm out.
Only in the remotest sense.
I just got in all five dings off the top, so now I don't need to do them later.
Yep.
That's not how any of this works, and totally you know it, asswipe.
It works. That's our new t-shirt.
I hate everybody, and I hate everything.
Asswipe is our t-shirt.
Jesus Christ.
You're doing that work.
Yeah, have fun with that, James.
Today's Fest 5 comes to us from...
Yeah, where is it? Where? There you go. There you go. Get to sleep on that.
Stack up!
In a butter butter!
Aw, yay.
Question. Oh, first opening thoughts. Opening thoughts. Shrug emoji?
Huh.
Oh. Well, all right.
That's, but is it the James Shrug emoji where it's like seven characters, or is it...
Yeah, it's the line, and then the backslash, and then the underscore, and then the open parentheses. It's that one.
All right.
So it's not a proper emoji. It's
what is that called? It's an emoticon? Is that what that's called? Yes.
Yeah.
It's the shrug emoticon.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Question number one. Dragon or griffin? Dragon.
I mean, I feel like dragons
griffins
are more...
would be more fun to ride.
Ooh, I do like that.
I disagree.
I think it'd be easier to ride. Like, I've always, I like the idea of riding a dragon, but there's nothing to grab onto. Like, with a griffin, I feel like you got more to grab onto.
Is this like a $5 on the other end kind of thing, or...
Are you referencing something our listeners weren't here for?
It's his thing.
Why? Why do you do that?
Referencing things that nobody understands is his thing.
No, the problem is we understand it, but the listeners don't. I don't care if I don't understand something if the listeners do. I'm here for the listeners. Okay, I'm here for me, but ostensibly I should be here for the listeners.
Yeah, ostensibly. Allegedly.
Anyway, I don't know. I think the back of a large cat would be easier to ride, on a griffin than the scaly back of a dragon.
Yeah, that's always been kind of like, I like the idea, unless it's fucking the luck dragon.
Falcor. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, that's the only dragon I could see riding proper. I do feel like the dragon is a much more universal creature. Mm. A lot of places have their own versions, but they are all referred to as dragons. So, I mean, I'm sure different names in different cultures, whatever. Whereas the griffin kind of feels a little just European, right? Almost even like the Isles proper.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, griffins are neat. All right. Jessa was born in the year of the Golden Dragon. So I'm going dragon.
There you go.
Pulling out the kid card. Guarantee you that is not the content. Huh?
If the day and the year are the same as the person's age.
No. It's that just happened. Like, each year has its own, so you can have it's dictated by Chinese, whatever, but like, each year is not just tied to the animal, but has a certain element or something associated with it, right?
I was born in the year of the water dog.
Yeah. And the year 2000 happened to be the dragon, and it was the golden dragon. Because they have a bunch of different elements, I think. Not just the basic five. Not just the five that we think of, but like they have other things that they throw in there.
Gotcha.
So.
Like bismuth.
Yeah.
Oh, bismuth is such a cool character.
I never realized there was an adjective for the Chinese zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, it's different for every year has an adjective and then the animal. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, mm-hmm. I knew about the animal. I didn't know about the adjective.
Well, it's because the animal like rotates and we associate personality stuff, cycle, whatever.
And then the elements rotate on a 5 year metal, fire, earth, and metal, fire, earth, water, air. Cycle and
they do more than just.
They also
there's also Captain Planet.
Young,
yeah. There's Captain Planet. Yeah,
and
like it's not. Yeah, it's not quite as consistent as the element because they do more with the adjective aspect of it. But yeah,
I am the metal cock.
Everything about that seems, you know. Questionably correct, yeah.
Question number two. Phoenix or unicorn?
Oh.
Phoenix. King of the Phoenix.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, Genesis King of the Phoenix. So.
Yeah, Jenny Young, King of the Phoenix.
I have no options here. I am King of the Phoenix.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd say I guess I'll go unicorn because there is an absolutely ridiculous game that I have on Steam that I don't remember why I have, but it's called Secret of the Crystals or something like that, and it's a horse training game, and one of the secret horses you can get is a unicorn.
You might have gotten it from
you
during a Steam sale, yeah.
As
one sometimes will.
So are we all good?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go unicorn. Riding on a phoenix doesn't seem optimal.
Seems a little toasty.
Ride the shit out of a phoenix.
A Chevy Nova that it's likely to explode violently at any given moment.
All right. Question number three. Fairy or Treant.
Fairies or treants.
Giant
treant. I heard it as just like one treant.
It is one. Treant.
Yeah, treant.
Yeah.
Treant.
Mm-hmm. It's an ant.
It's an ant.
When you don't go to school.
No, fairies but what I heard was
your assholes.
What I heard was treant. And that didn't No, that's not a thing. A treant is not a thing.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's a treant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Treant, not int.
Treant.
Treant.
Yeah.
Like, what I heard was treant.
That's because that's how Salsa read it.
Okay. All right.
I was trying to enunciate. So sorry.
Eh.
If I didn't say it with the correct accent. Is accent day.
Is accent day.
I'm going treant.
Treant.
Oh, I'm going. What was it? Anything other than that?
Fairy.
Fairy. Ugh, mm-hmm. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. No. The fae are the worst. There was a the last.
Depends on if it's Seely or Unseely.
True. Yeah. One of the last tabletop games that I played. I was with a friend of mine leading, and I forget the name of the game, but it was basically the fairy spinoff of White Wolf's Dark World. You know, Vampire the Masquerade, Werewolf the Apocalypse. Like, I think it's Changeling the something or other. Yeah. And there were five of us playing, and we had been abducted by the Fae as a child, and what eventually we did not figure this out because I don't think that we had survived long enough, but reveal by my friend as the DM was like, oh yeah, each of you were the same person at different points in your life, plucked from that life and thrown into this otherworldly experience together as a group.
Weird.
Huh. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Fae are assholes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no, they absolutely are. I just, man, Tolkien with the Ents just not getting involved just drove me the fuck insane and taking forever and all of the rest of that. So I have a personal thing against Ents, and I'll hang out with the fairies from War for the Oaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Agreed.
Question number four. Sphinx or Chimera?
Chimera.
Chimera.
No, Jenna. Chimera.
Oh, my God. I have to go Chimera because I am a Chimera.
Ooh.
I might be a Chimera. I may have absorbed my twin in the womb.
Oh.
There, it's a possibility. That seems
correct.
Yeah.
I like
riddles. So, yeah. Huh?
I like riddles. I'll go Sphinx.
All right.
I'm going to say, based on the different cartoons that I've seen on Adult Swim that mention these two creatures, one of them is Venture Brothers, and Sphinx is hilarious. It's like a G.I. Joe Cobra knockoff. It's very fucking funny. And then the other one, Chimera, I saw as part of watching Full Metal Alchemist, and that's traumatic. So, gonna a real, you know, fucking Fry's dog moment of late night television. So I'm gonna go not that one. I'm gonna go Sphinx.
I see. I'm going Sphinx because of a long running web comic that I've followed probably for about 20 years, called Subnormality. It's written by a French Canadian guy in maybe Toronto. But a lot of the Sphinx is a heavily recurring character, but a lot of the strips are these really deep dives into the philosophy of existence. And so it's a lot of really dense stuff, but a lot of really deep discussions about what it is to be both as a person and what it is to exist within our current modern hellscape, for a lack of a better descriptor.
Yeah. If that still exists, will you pop a note with the link?
Sure.
In the show notes? Thank you.
Yeah.
So Jenna's the only one that went with Chimera.
Come here. Oh, God. Fucking.
There's actually a long running in-joke in yet another podcast that I also listen to where the correction is, it's Chimera.
Chimera, you fucking fucks.
Question number five. Wyvern or Hippogriff? I gotta go with Wyvern.
I might have to go with Wyvern too. Hippogriffs don't really do a lot for me.
Yeah,
And especially the way that they were described in that book series, where it's like, oh yeah, this is, it's great. It's a, all the brains of a bird with all the temperament of a horse. It's like, that's, yeah.
Yeah. That, it really does nothing for me. Like, I've heard Rev Matt talk about hippogriffs before, and even he didn't make them sound cool. So, like, I got nothing for hippogriffs, man.
I mean, a wyvern is basically a European dragon, but its forearms are its wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got, like, an almost bat-like thing going on with it, I think.
I mean, depends on who you ask, but yeah, that seems to be the general.
They're also sort of smaller, like, more like pests.
Yeah,
kind of. I think.
They're not like house cat size, but yeah, they're more the size of a horse as opposed to a big fuck all dragon.
Yeah. Elephantine.
I think I'd rather fight a wyvern than a hippogriff.
I don't recall. Do wyverns breathe fire?
Again, depends on who you ask.
Classically.
Yeah.
Huh. Because if they do, I feel like that may be a reason not to fight them. I think at that point, fighting a bird worse.
Do generally breathe fire. One horse-sized
duck might be a little more advantageous. They might just like spit fireballs or something.
I don't think so.
But yeah, in any case,
all right.
I think at that point I would choose one horse-sized duck.
Which in this case would be
the hippogriff.
Okay. Then we are going to go to the context and find out that question number one is dragon or griffin. Would you rather have a pet dragon or a griffin?
I feel like a pet dragon might be easier to clean up after.
I think I'd still say a pet griffin for the same reasoning as what I originally gave. It'd be more fun to ride.
Do dragons shed? Like, do they shed their skins?
Like the way a snake does, or do they just slough scales from time to time?
Right. This is what I'm wondering. Like, which would be easier to take care of? Like,
oh, I really want to brush a griffin now.
Oh, I'm probably allergic to griffins.
Oh,
I gotta go dragon.
Yeah.
Yep. You do.
Yeah.
Just gotta transmogrify Linguini into a dragon.
He's already kind of a little dragon.
I want a luck dragon.
You mean like the tiny one in Mulan, played by Eddie Murphy?
No.
Yes, I want that dragon as a pet. God,
no, that one is the luck.
I want a tiny
luck dragon that sounds like donkey.
No, I just want a from Neverending tiny Story.
I just want a tiny Eddie Murphy as a pet.
Oh, God, it's now my headcanon that is one of the children of Donkey and Dragon from Shrek.
Nope, that makes sense.
It's annoying.
I approve.
Fuck. Question number two, phoenix or unicorn? If you could befriend a mythical creature, would it be a phoenix or a unicorn?
Phoenix.
Phoenix, straight up.
Well, I don't see, like, unicorns have certain things ascribed to them. They innately have magical abilities to like open doors and unlock things and find mystical springs and things like that. Is that something that phoenixes do?
No, but a phoenix would not go around going, oh, look how wonderful everything is with the rainbows and the flowers.
I think it would be a lot more viscerally satisfying to convince a unicorn to kill someone rather than a phoenix.
I mean, all the phoenix has to do is just burst into flames, right?
Right, and I want to see see a unicorn gore someone to death.
Jeez. I mean,
watch Cabin in the Woods. It's a renter. Yeah.
I also want to see this, but like, I don't think any unicorn is ever going to buy that I'm a virgin. So,
doesn't take a unicorn.
It doesn't take a unicorn
to
what?
Believe that you're not a virgin.
Oh, I thought unicorns hung out with like fair maids, like virginal maidens or something.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is, you don't have to be a unicorn to know that you're not a virgin.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So we're verifying my point.
Yes.
Okay. Cool. I got.
Well, confused. That happened.
Yep.
I went full James there for a second.
Did.
Oh.
Never go full
I was just confused. I didn't expect it from that direction.
Yeah.
But no, I think aren't phoenixes supposed to be able to like heal or something? Like fucking phoenix themselves. Tears or whatever.
Phoenix tears in that book.
Yes. Is it just that book?
The wizard Which book.
Maybe?
Do we know if there's like I could have sworn like there was a certain magical attributes associated with Phoenix aside from what they do for themselves.
Hmm.
But I would still rather have a Phoenix because hang out with a Phoenix. I wouldn't be able to kill it. So that's cool.
I mean, you could. It would just
okay.
be worn.
Right.
Right, but it would fare a lot better than houseplants.
Yeah. Right. Thank sure. you.
Yeah, no.
Thank you. That is what I'm getting
it's not
to,
that
yes.
you couldn't kill it. You could. It just would come back.
Right.
Question number three.
All
fairy
right.
or a treant? In a magical forest, would you prefer encountering a mischievous fairy or a wise treant?
A treant. Again, fairies are assholes.
Yeah.
You're talking about genie wishes,
yep.
you know?
See, the thing is, I feel like it would take the ant forever to get to the goddamn point. This is the problem that I had with them in Lord of the Rings.
It's not an ant, it's a treant.
It is a treant. Yeah.
Do I just not know what the fuck you guys are talking about?
Probably
yeah, I posted
not.
A Maybe. Link in chat.
Treant is spelled like truant with an E. Mm-hmm. Ent, as a magical creature, is, I believe, entirely Tolkien-based. Yeah. And the slow speech may also be entirely Tolkien-based. I think treants
I believe so.
Can probably talk in normal speed. They're just big tree people.
Yeah. Yeah, it that wasn't Salsa being an asshole this whole time.
Well, no. I figured that treant.
One word. Treant.
A-N-T.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why I said spelled like truant, but with an E.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you said it like 30 seconds ago. But
well, and I had said it's one word, it's not two words.
That doesn't mean anything. I pictured a hyphenated word.
Yeah, no, there was a
anyway.
Misunderstanding.
Yeah.
A hilarious misunderstanding.
Right.
It's pronounced Chimera.
Like, oh my fucking God. So mad about that right now. I'm just trying to figure out what the fuck this is then, because I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a living tree.
Yeah.
Isn't that what ent is, though? I'm very confused.
They're similar, but not alike. In
all right.
In some of the ways that you were mentioning.
Yes.
I mean, Tolkien crib notes from mythology as everywhere, as ever.
Yeah.
Right.
I think that Tolkien probably stole a lot from Gary Gygax.
Both alike in dignity.
Ha. The the beginning of Ocarina of Time tells me that I would probably rather
Did you just say Ocarina?
Yeah.
Hey, Ocarina.
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 It's the fucking pronunciation episode. It's spelled with an O. Ocarina. Yeah.
Yes, just like all those octopuses in the sea.
Okay, that's also Greek versus, and it would be octopodes.
Octopody.
Let's
Doctor
Sure
Ock.
Right. Ocarina.
It's spelled with an Ocarina. O.
But there's a fucking H in it.
All right. It was always introduced to me as being a flute that was Japanese in origin. And so I'm not aware of Japanese having a flat A affect on their O's in most pronunciations. Anyway, I don't know that I've ever wanted to rage quit the podcast more.
Oh, honey, give it 5 minutes. You'll be fine.
It was fine when I was doing it to Jenna, but now that I'm doing it to you.
Right? Thank you. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, The Legend of Zelda and the Macaroni of Time. Yep.
I did actually look up what's the difference between an ent and a treant.
And?
Ents are the actual creatures. The original, the Tolkien things are the original.
Oh.
The treants. Ent-like creatures appear in countless other forms of media, such as Dungeons and Dragons. Due to copyright infringement issues, they're usually referred to as treants.
Oh, well, learn something.
So I'm not crazy. I'm just OG.
Hmm. They're cool. Separate and intellectually distinct.
Yes. The Wish Dish discount version. Anyway.
Yes. And then we will go to McDowell's for dinner.
Oh, my God. Can we move on?
Question number 4, Sphinx or Chimera? Which guardian would you choose for a hidden treasure, a Sphinx or a Chimera?
Chimera.
I would go with Chimera.
What does a Chimera do? I know a Sphinx does the riddles.
So a Chimera is, in Greek mythology, it's a female, like, it's a goat, snake, something. It's like, it's a mix of three different creatures.
I thought it was a lion, eagle, scorpion.
Lion, eagle, scorpion.
No, in Greek mythology, it's a lion's head, goat body, serpent tail.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm familiar with. That I've seen. Yeah. Like, that's in Age of Mythology. Ages of Mythology? The RTS.
Age sure. of Mythology, I think.
Maybe.
Age of Empires, Age of Mythology.
Yeah. Right.
But it's often originally Greek mythology, but yes, Dungeons and Dragons and others have also had their different versions of them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they usually have a lion head and a goat and a snake in there somewhere. Sometimes there's an eagle stuck in there too.
There's an eagle. Sometimes there's a scorpion tail.
Sometimes the tail will be the tail will be the head of the snake.
So I've seen that in art.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, scorpion bite you with their tail.
Sphinx makes more sense to me, so I'll just go with that.
Yeah, but they're just going to give away your treasure if somebody guesses right.
Yeah, exactly. Chimera's going to fuck them up.
Yeah.
Well, then I'll just.
I'll just put the
shitty gifts. In the Sphinx treasure chest.
I also like that the Chimera is one of the few distinctively female beast monsters.
Yeah.
And Sphinxes, too.
I always thought Sphinxes were supposed to be as well.
Yeah.
I thought they were more androgynous. But...
No, Sphinx is actually usually portrayed as female as well.
All right.
Gorgons are usually female.
Mm. But I do like the idea of a female she-beast that will fuck your shit up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Question.
And yeah, like I said, a chimera also refers to a person who absorbed their twin in the womb. So, you know.
Yep.
I kind of have to give a nod to that. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Question number 5. Where am I? Wyvern or hippogriff? If you had to ride into battle, would you choose a wyvern or a hippogriff?
I mean, I feel like my comment about riding a dragon versus a griffin means that I would kind of want the hippogriff. Right. So,
like, I don't want to fall off of a wyvern.
I want the wyvern.
How big is a wyvern? I always feel like they're smaller.
About horse size.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah. Maybe a little smaller. Like
it's like riding a snake, though.
Yeah, but
a snake with wings and back legs.
But a hippogriff is just
so not a snake at all, is what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, it's like a snake, but it's got fur and it barks and it's got 4 legs and chases cats. You know, just like a snake does. Yeah, not at all. Not at all like a snake. All right. It's got wings and legs. That's inherently not.
Oh, and that's like saying a
I'm glad we are all friends. Because
thoughts.
Okay.
It's probably the best goddamn decision at this point.
Closing thoughts.
Salud. I mean,
what? Yes.
It's pronounced Leviosa.
Yeah. Or salad.
Salad. Oh, all right.
Go swish and flick yourself.
Salud. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, and you know you do, please go to aonpodcast.com, click on the Submit a Fast Five link, and fill out the form. Does anybody have a shout out?
Go James.
So I got all-you-can-eat sushi and sashimi this weekend, and it's fucking awesome, as always. But the wait staff at the Roseville Kyoto were amazing. We ended up leaving them an absolutely fantabulous tip, because they were just, like, friendly and on top of everything and fucking awesome. I don't know. We had a spectacular time. Even better than usual. So, yeah.
I don't think I did this one recently, but I want to give a shout out to seat warmers in cars. The temperature recently dropped the fuck right quick. And now we are experiencing actual Minnesota, as opposed to the delightful traipsing, whatever's been happening for the past few weeks. So, it got real butt-ass cold real quick, and I tell you, heated seats in a vehicle, glorious luxury.
Luke Shitty.
It was so good.
I am going to give my shout-out to an app.
Oh.
I know, right?
I'm sorry, I'm confused. What?
Yeah. It is a chores app. I went through a bunch of these because we were trying to figure out ways of getting my kids to remember to do their chores every day and find a way that, you know, was not confusing and they could both use on the same device and et cetera, et cetera, and so forth. And after going through a bunch of them, I stumbled on this one, and it is called S'mores Up. S'mores, like the little marshmallowy sandwiches.
Yeah.
Up. Sure.
It does a lot of fantastic things. It, first of all, you can, once you get your family members set up, you can create chores and then assign chores to individuals. And you can set that based, you can do daily, you can do, you know, a weekly rotation. You can do various things like that. So you can assign different day to different people.
Okay.
So so like my kids with doing their laundry, you know, I have one kid, I just have one chore that is do your laundry, but I have assigned it to the kids on a different day.
Nice.
It has a rotation. So the kids have to feed the cats. And so it goes back and forth. And I set that on a rotation. And every day, the little feed cats appears on the other one.
I have been list. Present for that argument.
Yeah. Yeah, same.
No argument ever again. It's on the app. They open the app. This is your turn to do it. It's great. Some of the chores are collaborative, you know, taking out the trash. One that's done is done. There's even one that's a competition.
Oh,
yeah. Whoever gets it first gets the points. That one's going to get the mail. And you can put different point values to the different tasks. This is based entirely on what you want to do. For us, most of the tasks are just 0 points because it's chores they're supposed to do. But for above and beyond things like, you know, cleaning the kitchen or something like that, they can earn extra points. And then if they have once they get so many points or s'mores, they can trade them in, and you get to pick. You get to set the gifts. So we have like for 50 s'mores, they can just say, instead of me doing the chores for a day, mom and dad are doing my chores today.
Nice.
You know, if they get 200 s'mores, they get a Lego set.
Ooh,
things like that.
That's awesome.
It is gamifying chores. It is making it very clear whose chores it is every day. All they do is they turn on the app and they go to their profile and it says, here are the chores that you do today. And it has the ability to select if the chore needs approval before it's done. So like some of the chores, they say it's done. It's done. Some of them, like doing your homework, we verify.
Sure.
You know, and it's just, I tried, like I said, I tried a bunch of these apps and some of them were like, you get 5 until you gotta pay. And this one, like it has some paid content, but I have not had to, cause it just does everything we need it to. So really highly recommend it. If you are the type of person who needs an app to keep them on task, I recommend this. If you are part of a household that needs to figure out a good clean way of divvying up the chores, I recommend this. It's a really solid one. So
I appreciate the self-assigned point values and the self-assigned rewards for those point values. Depending on your situation, that could be more work at the front end than you're prepared to do, but I do appreciate that that it's available rather than someone else saying, oh yeah, whatever is, you know, it's worth this or it's worth that. And here, you know,
and
here are the delineations
At the beginning, we just put everything to 0 and kind of got them into the habit of using it and figuring out how things.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And as things came up, we started adjusting point values and adding and subtracting different like that.
You start adding duplicates of all the chores,
but you can give people bonus s'mores if they, you know, if you come home and one of them has done something above and beyond what they need, you can give them bonus points. And or if one of them is exceptionally bad or something, you can remove we're not gonna do that. I feel like that's kind of cruel. No matter, like, there are different ways of your children, but taking points away from them is
More of a conversation.
Exactly.
Did you know how to do this thing?
Sure.
Do I have to walk you through this? Does your little brother need to teach you how to do this? I would totally pit them against each other. I'm not above that.
But yeah, so far, even using the free version, I have not bumped up against the limitations of its usage. So comes highly recommended.
Very cool.
Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, I will give a shout out to my wife, who probably does a lot more work keeping this family, this household running, in addition to doing a bunch of stuff for her own family. Most recently, we just got delivered a our own copy of a calendar that she prepared for her parents and grandmother of her and her sisters and their families for 12 months with, you know, differing rotating images of everybody for each month. And then also having small inserts of each person on their birthdays within That's the calendar. Wow. And so, yeah. And just doing this as a thing for, yeah, for her parents and her grandmother to be like, here's, you know, here's how to be, to feel, continue feeling involved with the family. Cause yeah, her, I mean, we're in Minnesota, her grandmother's in Wichita, her parents are in Dallas. Mm-hmm. Her youngest sister is in a city that's like an hour and a half east of Dallas. And her middle sister, who had the first, you know, the first grandkid amongst them, is up in north of Calgary, Alberta. And so it's, we're quite, quite separated. And so it's hard to keep together, throughout the year. And so this, this sort of thing is, just one of those things that she thinks about and does for everybody to sort of help keep everybody feeling connected to one another. So
that's so nice.
Yeah, she does a lot more than, a lot more than I think about regularly to keep things going. And, I have to, you know, have to be appreciative of all the things that she does, even if they're not like in the moment directly things that I'm looking for support or, you know, do, you know, for me or whatever.
Right.
So she's still doing a bunch of things for so many other people. So,
yeah.
Aww.
All right.
Super sweet.
Yeah, indeed. Does anybody have any shout outs?
You mean plugs?
You mean things to plug?
Plugs, but yes.
No, I should have let Stefan just correct it. God damn it. That's way funnier than when he does it.
Does anybody have any plugs?
Nope.
I do.
Ugh. I mean.
Great. I believe it's pronounced plugs.
Plugs.
It's a race.
James, do you have a shout out?
So, you have a show you want to shout out?
Yeah.
You have a shout out?
No.
Oh my God, that was Minnesotan.
Yep.
Figure it out.
What? The short out.
Annual fuck whatever year shows are coming up at the end of December for Vilification Tennis at Strike Theater. I will be in the one on the 30th. And these are always really fucking spectacular. So I am absolutely looking forward to sending this year off with a big middle finger, basically.
Fair.
But a lot of good things have happened too, and we'll be sure to celebrate those things. But also just, you know, light it on fire. Give it a Viking funeral as we march dutifully into 2024. So more information on that as it comes up. I will try to let people know as soon as tickets are live, because those shows usually are fucking packed. We sold out the last one.
Right.
We had almost the entire theater was pre-orders as well. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
Stefan, you got anything?
The Steam Winter Sale will most likely be from December 21st, 2023 through January 4th, 2024. As such, the, you know, so that's in a little over 3.5 weeks. And so the AON, apropos of nothing official Steam Secret Santa's Exchange will have signups open within the next week, hopefully before next episode. And again, buy-in is $20. You're guaranteed to get $20 of stuff on your wish list generally back to you in Steam. And Yeah, more than happy to figure out how to get other people who aren't regular PC gamers involved, however they want or can. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, it's a fun event, and it's more fun with more people. And so, yeah, having six people is okay, but, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 people is more, you know, more entertaining.
The more the 50.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But we need to get that many active members on Discord first.
Well.
So get on
that. Active is not a word I would use to describe our listeners.
Passively hostile?
Passively hostile, yes.
Yeah, active is not me, that's for sure. No. Does anybody have any final thoughts?
Bye-bye, love you, bye-bye-bye.
In that case, thank you so much to everybody who listens to this podcast. Thank you to Stack for sending in the Fast Five.
Yeah.
Obviously, thank you to Stefan for sitting in on our nonsense here and not being able to leave. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I
just go ahead.
Pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.